The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Championship game on deck for those Cincinnati Bengals. Unbelievable season. It just keeps writing itself, this Cinderella story. And the Cincinnati Bengals face the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC Championship game this Sunday afternoon. Whew. I'm Anthony Cazenza, joined as always by my partner in crime, John Sheeran. What a season, man. What a game. What a weekend of football in general. Good Lord. All those games were just incredible.
Yeah, it almost feels like the Bengals game is like left out of that conversation. how the Bills and Chiefs ended and freaking Brady almost coming back down from 27-3 again. But yeah. Bengals fans will take that. They'll take the less talked about game as long as it's a win.
Yeah, the sliding continues, I guess, for the Cincinnati Bengals. I don't know what's going on there. They're not even given much of a chance this week by a lot of pundits. There's still a lot of odd takes being thrown out there, but all in all, the Cincinnati Bengals keep silencing the doubters, keep doing different things to make this a really special season, and one of which was to defeat the number one seed Tennessee Titans on their home turf. We'll talk about that in just a second. Before we do, wanted to remind folks that kind of what's coming up tonight. We've got a Titans preview. We'll be doing that for a few minutes, and then we will be joined by comedian, musician, SNL alum, and Bengals fan Luke Knoll joining the program. We're going to have some fun with him, talking all kinds of different things about the Bengals, his career, and going to have some fun with him. And then we're going to close up with some stats of the week and a preview of the Chiefs game. So you won't want to miss any of it, and should be a fun show. And we're looking forward to all of it. But John, I'm kind of at a loss a little bit as to where to start with this Titans game. I guess I want to start with this amazing video montage you put together on Twitter. Absolutely incredible. Kudos to you. I'm going to give you a nice round of applause there. In case you missed it for whatever reason, John put together an amazing video chronicling some Titans fans on Twitter spaces that Zim Hude had put together, calling the Bengals a finesse team, whatever that may be. And by the way, that when I hear finesse team, I always think of the movie Swingers with Vince Vaughn and John Favreau from the 90s, because they're playing NHLPA hockey on the old school Sega Genesis. They're playing with the Kings, and there's a funny line about the Kings being a finesse team, and it's an uncomplimentary word, is kind of what they say in that movie. So the Bengals proved, whatever that finesse team means, John, that they are not a finesse team, and they can beat teams a number of different ways based on what the other team's giving them or not giving them.
You know what it sounds like to me? Growing up, like playing Madden, like players have different attributes, and like pass rushers, defensive linemen, they'll have like power moves and finesse moves. And I remember like for a Carlos Dunlap, he was more of a finesse guy, right? Because he had bend, didn't really have that much power. Like Geno Atkins had power moves. And I feel like that was just in like the Titans fans' mind, like, oh, like the Bengals, they're fast. They score in flashy ways and whatnot, and they have good defensive backs. They're quote unquote finesse. And that didn't make any sense to me because one, there are no finesse teams in the NFL. It's the NFL. There are physical teams and there are teams that are slightly less physical because they don't have bigger, faster, slightly stronger athletes. But this is all the top one percentile football players in the world. Like if you are not physical in the NFL, you will not lose or you will not win any games. I don't care what division you come from. So the whole thing was just weird, but it was the physicality of the Bengals defensive line that was really one of the big stories for me. Obviously the Titans defensive line, obviously physical. We knew that coming into the game. We didn't think they were going to have 9 sacks on just 15 pressures that they had, but we knew that the Bengals defensive line was capable of that performance. They've shown it in various times this year. There have been some moments where they got kind of gashed, but they matched the quote unquote physicality of the Titans offense and that offensive line. They limited Derrick Henry to maybe like 3.5 yards per carry. And the tone setter of that group, DJ Reader, had one of his best games ever against a team that he has history playing and dominating against when he was with the Houston Texans. And that was one of the big stories of the game. The game was not perfect for either side. Obviously, the Bengals offense was really limited by a lot of the sacks, and the Titans offense was limited by Ryan Tannehill. And when it came down to it, the Titans, they had their formula. They had their predictable game plan, the game plan that was supposed to run the Bengals over, and that didn't happen. The Bengals defense ended up stepping up and making plays. And even though he was sacked 9 times, again, 9 times on like only 15 or so pressures, he wasn't pressured all the game, but when he was sacked. And just when they needed time, they needed one clean pocket to get 20 yards. Where else does he go to but Jamar Chase? Jamar Chase, the guy who wanted to break all the records, sets up the guy who now wants to break all of Adam Vinatieri's records in the postseason, Evan McPherson, calling his shot. It's these young guys again, Anthony. The stage is not too big for them. No matter the talk leading into the game, no matter the narratives, they are here to win big games for the Bengals, and they're showing no signs of slowing down.
Confidence is key, and you know what else is? It seems like every big win, I look at some of the biggest plays in those respective games, and I come out of it going, it's those big outside free agent acquisitions from the last couple of years that are making a good amount of those big plays. Yes, it's Joe Burrow. Yes, it's Jamar Chase, of course. But Trey Hendrickson throughout the year, he was a force. Been a little quiet this postseason. Had the big play against the Raiders. Obviously got hurt later in that game. A little more quiet this week as well. But he's been a force throughout the season. Of course, you had the Mike Hilton play this week. I mean, it just seems like those, for a team that was so adverse to outside free agency for so long, now they're seeing the dividends of what some of these guys are bringing. And they're showing up in these big games wherein the Bengals traditionally – They just didn't do that, right? I mean, that's part of the reason why they brought these guys in.
Look, man, like Bengals fans have been pleading with this team to find the guy quarterback and to complement the team with quality free agents. And it took them so long to do that. And once they finally did it, they nailed it 100%. Like they're at a very dangerously high hit rate for these free agents. And they're all coming up big in these games. And like you said, they're amongst the biggest reasons as to why they're producing so much and they're winning these games. And, you know, in a game that's ugly or unpleasant like this, and ends up being 19-16, a very imperfect day, it's the same two things that can carry a team deep into the postseason: opportunistic defense and just quality quarterback play. Anthony, I don't know if there is another quarterback that can be able to take that type of a beating and still come up when he's absolutely needed. I think like Len Dawson or something like that had gotten sacked 9 times in the playoff game like 60 years ago and still won. I don't know if that's the last time that's happened, man, but it's not always going to be pretty, even though they have this completely balanced roster and whatnot. But when it comes down to it, they're able to get it done.
So that's my main question I want to bring here. And we're going to get to our special guest, Luke Knoll, in just a second here. But I kind of want to close maybe a little bit of Titans talk, and maybe this could segue later on into the Chiefs preview. But I feel like I do this every show. I talk about the two schools of thought, or two different ways you can look at things. There's the, is this viable, this type of play viable for the AFC Championship and a possible Super Bowl. The 9 sacks, you know, Evan McPherson relying on him kicking 4 field goals a game instead of touchdowns, that sort of thing. Is that viable still for the Bengals to continue to win? Or do you just kind of look at this team and go, they're just finding different ways to win and it doesn't really matter and it's not going to matter who they play?
Well, if they end up playing a team with the Titans defensive line and Patrick Mahomes at quarterback, then it becomes
there you go.
Yeah, there you go. Because, I mean, they needed every ounce of their defense in that game with how the offense was unfortunately playing. And that's going into the game. That was the one thing that the Titans could do. If they completely shut out the Bengals offense with their pass rush, that was their formula to success. But only if Ryan Tannehill doesn't play like Ryan Tannehill usually does in the playoffs. And this is obviously one of his worst playoff performances, maybe his worst playoff performance of his career, but that was what the defense needed to do the offensive line was getting destroyed there. So as long as they don't run into a defensive line like the Titans who do what they do, I think they will go into games more confidently that they can put up 30 points and not have to completely rely on 3 turnovers.
Yeah, and I think that's just a key for this going forward. I mean, obviously you want really good outputs from all 3 phases of the game, but you know, sometimes when one phase, it's that complementary football concept, right? Where one phase is maybe struggling at a certain point of the game or throughout the game, and the other 2 phases really pick it up to allow that phase to kind of lean on them as a crutch a little bit. And I think that's kind of a little bit of what we saw that this past weekend. Before we get to our special guest, John, quickly, how did you celebrate? How did you watch? I mean, I know we were all celebrating. I have a video. I'm debating if I want to share it at some point. I might share it. Someone in my family did a sneak video. They were, you know, of us. So I didn't know that I was being filmed there. But how did you celebrate? Because I know we're trying to be unbiased. I know we're trying to be objective. But hey, I mean, they're in the AFC Championship.
Man, when you go to the AFC Championship and you're in Cincinnati and you have fireworks popping off next to your house as soon as McPherson makes the field goal that he called a shot, you know, you got to celebrate with them. So I went out with my cousin and met up with his brother, my cousin as well, to some bars close to where we were. And we just had ourselves a grand old time. We didn't get completely blacked out like we did after the first playoff win because, Anthony, playoff wins aren't new to us anymore.
We're veterans now.
Behavior, you know, we got to act like we've been here before. But, you know,
that's right.
if they go on to win the next game, maybe we can go dummy a little bit more.
Oh, well, maybe I'll share it on my Twitter account or something, the video that I have. It's actually kind of funny, and I don't know. I'm debating, but we'll see.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I do know how somebody else celebrated, and we're going to play a video on that in just a second. We're going to bring in our special guest, Mr. Luke Knoll. He is a musician, a comedian. He is a Saturday Night Live alum. And most importantly, he is a Bengals fan. What's going on, my man?
Fellers, happy January where the Bengals are still playing and it's not a bunch of scrubs for no reason. And we want them to lose because we want a better draft pick. Guys, life is good.
Life is good. Life is good. And we are very excited for you to join us. We've seen you a couple times in the comment section. And I say, we got to get this guy on the show. We got to get this guy on the show because you are incredibly talented, awesome, and a big, big time Bengals fan. I would ask you what you did to celebrate. But Luke, I trolled your Twitter account and I found a little something for you here. I'm going to let the folks watch this and hopefully hear it here. Let's pull this up. This is, I want to know where this is. First of all, where
was this? One Bengal bar. It's the one Bengal bar in LA, and I'm using in LA because it's not in LA. It's in Eagle Rock. So Eagle Rock, the Five Line Tavern there, where Bengal fans down the block, they had to turn people away. I felt so bad. I'm like, let these sweaty people in here. Allow them to hoot and holler. But they turned people away. But this is the one Bengal bar in LA, and we went wild.
All right, I'm going to show it right here, and then we'll get back to it here. Here you go. This is Luke's version of Celebration here.
Please.
Shooter, please.
You got to yell at him.
4 seconds on the clock. You're hearing I and Eagle back there.
Yep. You got to give them the spin. Let them know we're at the bar.
A lot of people there.
Good amount. Come on. Just turn people away.
Come on. You can't see it, but I can.
I don't know why I felt the need to include that.
Your jacket's incredible, by the way. There it is.
Yeah, you gotta go for it. The people. I'm just going nuts.
There is
I'm like a child.
I know there's a part. The best part's at the very end. I'm debating if I wanna play it on air or not, because there may not be little ears here.
I'm hugging people I don't know. I don't know that guy.
Okay. You don't know that guy.
This is my butt here.
Okay, all right. There, that's the best part.
The people needed to know. You know, sometimes you just gotta be honest with the folks. You know.
Yeah, well, that's awesome, man.
I think that answers the question, though. The Bengals player that exudes the most sexual energy is probably Evan McPherson, though.
I mean, it's hard to take that away from him, you know? Especially going on Pat McAfee today and being like, pick up that ball in the front and read me the records. I was like, dude, I love this kid so much. I am one of the people that tried to get a Money Mac jersey, like, all the way, 100%. But I don't want – like, I know they're all sold out right now, but I want – every year I buy one. I buy one every year just because you got to support the boys. So this is my T. It's my T. Higgs. But I want them. I think I want a Money Mac. I want a Shooter jersey, but I want it in orange. I want the new look orange jersey. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And I assume that Money Mac's going to be sold out for like 6 months or something. But.
Yeah, they were talking about it on the herd today that they're out of the jerseys. They're even out of the jerseys that you can customize and put his number and name on it if you wanted to do the blank ones. So they're all sold out of that stuff, which is pretty incredible. Luke, for those of us who have followed your career and whatnot, tell us how you became a Bengals fan and maybe some of your favorite players and, I don't know, some of your best. Mm-hmm. I would assume that what we just played was one of your best memories as a Bengals fan. But give us a little background here.
I think you guys were right, though. The previous week was like as good and as excited as I was there, the previous week against the Raiders, it was like really cathartic. Like it was like 10 times that, because they didn't know to turn people away last week. Like they did not know that it was going to be fully jammed. Like, so it was like way more people in there. And it was just like people like crying. And it was just like, it was a big family of strangers, but we were all just loving it together. But I mean, I grew up in Cincinnati. I went to Lakota East and grew up a Bengal fan. Just took the gut punches. I think it's crazy when I go to the Bengal bar here in LA now and I ask people, because I assume like if you're going to root for this franchise up until this year, come on now, like bandwagon, we got plenty of room now. But even a few years ago, it's like, why would you do this to yourself if you weren't from that patch of dirt, you know, where I'm from, where it's like, and it's funny to hear people in LA being like, yeah, they're my team in Madden and I just locked it down. And I'm like, I love that. I love that so much. But I found myself thinking something about like 10 years ago, right, guys? Like, zoom back to the 2011 Bengals, right? Everybody predicts we're going to go 0-16. There's the lockout. There's no, you know, Andy and AJ's rookie year. we come out of the gate and start out like 3-2, 5-2. I think we started out that season. I could be wrong, but I think we started out pretty well that year. End up scraping together and getting into the playoffs and just getting bodied by the Texans. But I just remembered being like so excited just to be there. You know what I mean? And just to be like, oh my gosh, like the Bengals are in the playoffs. Like, this is unreal. This is so exciting. And then I zoom forward to now and it's like, it's really sad looking back at how excited I was just for the experience of losing 31-10, whatever the final score of that first Texans game was.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. It was bad. Yeah. 31-17 or something. I don't even know if we scored that much. I don't think we did. It was bad, but I just remember being like, man, I really was happy with just breadcrumbs. And now that we've had something to eat, come on now. And everybody's crying about how the national media, because I'm sure you guys are watching everything just like me. Like, I mean, I'm watching everything. I'm searching way too much on Twitter for indirects and stuff. I'm like trying to see everything there is out there. Right, and I'm like, right. It's funny how many Bengal fans are like bummed that the national media is sleeping on us, where I'm like, guys, this, we want to be slept on. The minute that they start pumping the Bengals, like next year, there's going to be a lot of hype and our schedule is going to be crazy because we're going to play a first place schedule. And it's like, let's just soak it in. We want them to sleep on us. There's no way we're giving up 9 sacks again. Like,
no,
it's not going to happen. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. they got us 4 times in week 17 where it's like, that sounds about right. And we can still beat you. We can still put up 34 points with taking 4 sacks. Like, come on, sleep on us, continue to sleep on us.
So maybe your answer will be that week 17 game where Burrow was sacked 4 times, but they still scored 34 points. Luke, like, it, as far as verified people on Twitter who acknowledge themselves as Bengals fans, like, you're very, I would say, there's self-deprecating. None. No, exactly. Like, of all the one people that are verified and acknowledge that they're Bengals fans, you're very self-deprecating with your fandom. You know, you're a comedian, obviously. You find joy in suffering and humor and just suffering and whatnot. Just this season, though, like, with how it unfolded, and there are so many moments to pick from, where was that light switch flicked for you that, like, oh, this team is legit, and I cannot just be joking about them anymore. Like, they could actually do something.
You know, we hit that stretch after, and I'm saying we, because come on, guys, we're part of it. We're part. They
you're suited up. I mean, you're suited up tonight. So, yeah, there you go.
I mean, this guy, I think this is the game right here, because clearly they're going to be salty about getting burned for 266 yards against Ja'Marr Chase the first time. It's all about T. Higgins in the AFC Championship game. But I think it's that stretch right after the bye where I feel like Marvin Lewis's Bengals, you know, even when we were going to the playoffs for 5 straight years, we always came out sleepy after the bye, and it always looked like, you know what I mean? Like, they never came out. Like, I feel like all 5 of those playoff years, every one of them felt like we were basically limping to the finish. That's not the case if you go back and look at some of those years, but it never felt like we were surging at the right time. And this year is like, there's no other way to look at it but to say, like, these Bengals came out of the bye ready to go. And it, you know, once you're sweeping the Bengals or the Ravens and the Steelers, like, this, they're for real. Even if we're playing the practice squad Ravens, like, come on, we're playing Madden on rookie mode against these guys out there. It was awesome. I, like, could not lick wing sauce off my fingers enough. It was cathartic. We needed it as a people, as the Bengals loving nation that we are. We needed to see them blow out the Steelers and Mike Hilton to pick 6 Big Ben. We needed this to put up 500 yards passing and just rubbing it in their faces. Like, we needed it as fans. And then that, just to cap it off, that win against Kansas City, it's like, and oh my gosh, don't even read the Chiefs fans complaining about the refs and stuff. It's like, you know that Ja'Marr Chase put up 266. Like, no rookie has ever put up more yards. Right. Not going to comment on that. Not going to bring that up. It's all the one holding call that you're mad about. They're just, yeah.
No, but Luke, it wasn't just that. It was Chiefs fans that were saying that Burrow is this next Brady, and the NFL wants the Bengals to win over the Chiefs.
That's a good one.
The Patrick Mahomes. How do you comprehend that? Like the Bengals, a part of the NFL script?
I know. I'm like, do you know? Have you watched any Bengals game? Clearly, no. I'm like, you've got to be kidding yourself if you think that the juggernaut that is the NFL is like, you know what market we want to rig it for? The 25th smallest. We want to make sure we get the 25th smallest TV market in the NFL. We want to make sure that's a. It's like, come on, guys. Like, take your. I have a lot of Chiefs fan buddies that in my fantasy league this year. And I'm like, you guys have become the like spoiled rich kid so fast. Cause I've known them a long time. And I'm like, during the Alex Smith years, you guys were not this bold. You know what I mean? I'm like, be chill.
Yeah. I've got two names to give you and I want to hear your thoughts. I'm just gonna say the names themselves.
All right. Jackson, I can already Mahomes, cut you off because
Jackson Mahomes and Brittany Matthews this week. When you see the TikToks, when you see the videos, do you just go whatever, or does it get under your skin? Are you saying, oh my gosh, I really want the Bengals to win because those two are really, really using social media in a way I would not use it? I mean, I don't know. What goes through your mind when you hear those two names, especially this week with what's on the line?
I mean, all you got to do is rewind a year and it's like, when's the last time that somebody prominently clowned on the Bengals on TikTok? Juju Smith-Schuster, and he got absolutely wrecked. And a lot of really great memes off of him getting just hit-sticked by Von Bell. Like, oh, I say, bring it, give it to us. Like, keep it up. It's going to make it this much funnier when the Bengals win and people are not going to know what to do. And I hope it ends on some weird, bad ref call. I hope it won't, but like, I hope it does just so that they can cry more.
Talking with Luke Knoll, former SNL cast member, now current comedian.
Yes, I was fired.
Well, that's where the former comes in. A lot of people are used to be something, then they're former something because of that. But Luke, I'm actually outnumbered right now because you and Anthony are both now in LA, but obviously Luke here is a Cincinnati guy. But just take me through, like, say in a week's time, the Bengals beat the Chiefs. If that happens, the Super Bowl is in LA. Like, obviously you have a poppin' Bengals bar on the outside of town. How do you imagine like the city of like the metropolis of LA just in flux with like Bengals fans for like that 2 weeks? How do you think that city's going to handle it?
So first of all, LA, they don't care at all. Like you'll see some Rams jerseys and things, but like never met a Charger fan. Like if you walk around Los Angeles, they don't exist. Like there's no such thing as an LA based Charger fan. They're not here. The Rams were in the Super Bowl in 2018. I could be wrong. Could have been. Yeah, I think it was 2018. You would not really know. It's not one of the teams that they really care about. It's like a Dodger. They love the Dodgers. They love the Lakers. And that's pretty much it because there's other things going on in LA that people care about, I guess, just like the entertainment industry and all that crap. But it's like back home, Cincinnati, it's like we love our. What was a bad team for so long and all, you know what I mean? Like, and we still loved them for all their flaws. And I cannot imagine like if/when the Bengals win the AFC championship game at Arrowhead on Sunday, I'm going to lose my mind. Right. And I'm actually getting married in New Orleans next Friday. Right. So I'm getting married. Thank you guys so much. Love wins in the comment section. Love you guys. My Venmo is at, no, I'm kidding. getting married soon. And I've told my blushing bride, I'm like, cause She's from Akron, so her family, that side of the is all Brownie fans. So I'm like, they're happy for Ohio right now. They're jealous. You can feel it. They're very jealous. Mm-hmm. Like almost as jealous as I was last year when they blew out the Steelers in the playoffs. I was seething with jealous rage last year. I was like, oh my God, the Browns got a playoff win before us. I'm going to lose my mind. Thank you so much, Jason. Love you. But I told my blushing bride, I'm like, if the Bengals go to the Super Bowl, I'm going. I know that the tickets right now, because the Rams are still alive and they're still in it, tickets are insane. They're insane. I think if the Rams, and I'm calling it, I'm thinking 49ers are going to beat them, right? If the 49ers are in it, and let's say the Bengals are in it, I'm hoping that the tickets aren't like absolutely, and they're going to be, but I'm going to use like our honeymoon money to go, and she's going to kill me and immediately divorce me. But that's the plan. And I can't imagine the Bengal takeover of LA. I cannot imagine all these Cincinnati folks flocking out here, but it would be so much fun. And like SoFi is a really cool stadium. I've never been, but whenever I see it, I'm like, oh my God, I got to go.
No, I haven't been either, but little known fact about me, I'm going to be celebrating my 10th wedding anniversary later this year. I got married on Bengals bye weekend, dude. So, I mean, she knew the deal. She knew the deal. It was like, you know, if we're going to have a fall wedding, we got to make sure it falls on a specific weekend wherein.
Did you plan that?
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
100%. Oh my God. I respect that.
Well, technically, Luke, I mean, you technically planned it on a Bengals bye week too, if that's the case.
Yeah, there you go.
Exactly. She asked me like shudder, because I came home, because I'm not trying to go with you to the zoo that is the Bengals bar. She's like, what week is the Super Bowl of the? I'm like, it's the week after our wedding. Yeah. So I'm like, technically our wedding is the Pro Bowl, so no one cares. So we should be all clear. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you should be good. And to your earlier point, you're right about LA and kind of a little bit of a I don't know if apathy is a good word for it, but I guess a little bit of an apathetic approach to some of the teams there, because the Rams have come and gone, the Chargers have come and gone, and then you've got USC. That was kind of a big football ticket for a while, and then they've been pretty lousy over the past handful of years, and so people kind of got bored with them, it seems. So yeah, you're right. I mean, I think the Rams have energized some things there, but
for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm painting with a broad brush when I say nobody cares, but it's like if you were in,
you're right though.
If you're in Cincinnati and the Bengals are in the championship game, I'm sure it's like my family's saying like Cincinnati's just buzzing right now, and I would love to see it, you know, with all the craziness happening and like just exciting, you know. Whereas like LA is in the championship game, and you'd be like, you don't see any Ram stuff. Like, you know, they just don't care. They don't care the same way. And that's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, based off
Go ahead. Go ahead, Luke. No, go ahead.
I said I did today. I was like, cause I know that bar is going to be packed in LA. So I'm definitely getting there a few hours early. And for my friends that I'm like sitting with, I rush ordered a bunch of cans of Skyline and some Skyline hot sauce, because the hot sauce is, you got to have the hot sauce as well. But I rush ordered them, and I'm like really hoping that they get here in time for the game.
This guy knows.
I don't have Amazon Prime. Yeah. I'm pumped. I'm trying to eat it like in line.
Oh, there you go. That's the way to do it. Yeah, that's the way to do it.
I mean, I was just going to say, like, based off the Week 18 matchup between the 49ers and Rams, it almost seems like there's more 49ers fans in LA, but maybe the 49ers fans just travel a little bit more. And I guess the Rams are doing that same thing that the Titans were trying to do to Bengals fans and limiting the ticket window restriction. But it's not going to happen in Kansas City, because Arrowhead has no issue selling out their own stadium.
Yeah. Do you guys think that there's something like poetic about that there's a chance that it could be Bengals 49ers 100%. Round three? Isn't that like the best possible? I feel like if the Rams win, like let's say the Bengals win, we're all like losing our minds, and then it ends up being the Rams, I'll be like, oh okay, Cool. Yeah. Like,
and you've the Bengals have a quarterback who a lot of, I think it was Phil Sims earlier this year, said he reminds him a lot of Joe Montana, right? I mean, the whole comparison thing there. So that is, you know, there's a lot of storylines there. There's even a lot of storylines if the Bengals make it with the Rams because of the McVay, Zach Taylor thing, all of that too. So, I mean, if the Bengals make it, I mean, it's been a hell of a season if they don't, but it's, you know, if they do make it, it's, to your point, Luke, I mean, it's, there's a lot of storylines that could be really cool leading up to this thing.
I would be very, 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 very scared if Aaron Donald has to face our offensive line.
That's what I was going to ask.
God, that would be very bad. I, man, oh man, with all of the like free agent, like hits that we got other than like Trey Waynes, which I'm not even going to try to dog on him. He's been hurt, but like just looking at the money spent situation, can you point to a bigger misfire? Maybe like Antonio Bryant. Like, I don't know. It's been a long time since we like whiffed one that hard, but like, because of how much every other defensive free agent has worked out, it bums me out. Like when people are dogging on us, about our offensive line, rightfully so, where people are like, you guys never draft linemen and stuff. It's like, if you go back and look at the last 10 years of Bengals drafts, like we just never, it seems, get it right with like line. Like we can't miss on wide receivers. Every wide receiver we draft, except.
You're pulling up the Ross jersey. There you go.
Johnny Ross.
This is a cursed jersey. This is a cursed jersey. But other than John Ross, I feel like, you know what I mean? I'm just like, people dogging us like we never draft linemen. And I'm like, we've tried many times. We're just not good at it. Here's another thing I was thinking at, and I know it's all positive vibes right now, but everyone is like kissing the ground that Frank Pollock walks on. At what point are we like, we did give up the most sacks in the league this year and then give up 9 in the highest pressure situation possible?
Right.
Like, at what point are we like, is he the best coach? I don't know.
I think he's a good coach. The thing that still frustrates me. But you have a point there, because the thing that still frustrates me is just still with another draft class, some of the guys that they had over the last couple of draft classes, an opportunity to go maybe get another guard or whatever in free agency. They still cannot figure out what's going on at the right guard situation. They had the right tackle situation figured out for a bit until Reef got hurt, but they can't settle on a guy. And when they settle on a guy, it seems like they have a good game and then they followed up with like 2 bad games. Right. And so you can't have Pro Bowlers at every single position on the offensive line. We know that. And the other point that I was thinking about today, in terms of what you said about the defensive free agents that have paid off for the Bengals, I mean, a lot of people are dogging the offensive line. The Bengals have really gone more heavy offense in the draft. They did free agency, you know, defensive side of the ball. But also, there were so many roster deficiencies that Zach Taylor inherited, and so many a lot of dead weight that really, in 2 off seasons, it still wasn't going to be enough if you were aggressive in free agency in the draft both those years, or, you know, all 3 years. So it still is going to probably take another offseason to really, really get this thing to be primo shape as opposed to what he inherited. So,
You're totally right.
I don't want to speak for John. I know he's got some thoughts on Pollock, but I like him, but there's still some things where I'm like, yeah, I'd kind of like to see a little more from a couple of these people. I had some high-ish hopes for Carmen, especially later in the year, but that's gone completely the other way.
Yeah. Little bit of a bummer. I mean, I'm not trying to dog on, because you can only do so much with the talent that you have here. You know what I mean? Like, you can only work with what you have to work with. It just, it, that Titans game, obviously, like, Adeniji just got like bodied a few times, just backed right up, and you're just like, oh, buddy. And then but it's the ones to me, like, I'd rather see you get backed up like you are you aren't even standing in front of the guy than like a miscommunication free runner.
Yeah, the Harold
through
Landry
the B gap. Where you're just like, God, those are the ones you can't. That's the stuff that like crowd noise and being at Arrowhead, like you can't. You gotta get your checks right, guys. Like, at least get backed up like you're a rag doll. Have the respect.
Luke, Luke, you know how this goes, man. If the Bengals would have lost to the Titans, then the whole story would be the Bengals let Joe Burrow get sacked 9 times, and then the criticism goes in for Pollock. But the Bengals found a way to win, as they've done for basically most of the second half of the season. And then now we have a game against the Chiefs where it's another obvious must-win situation. And the roster's still not perfect, but you still have number 9 throwing balls to number 85 like you were in there. So in terms of this game, man, what are you thinking? I know you're thinking the Bengals are going to win, but how do you think it's going to go down?
All right. This is just me being realistic. You know what I'm saying, guys? Like, this is a truth bomb right here. I'm thinking opening kickoff, you know, they defer. They want the ball at halftime. Totally cool. Kick it off. Chris Evans TD. No problem. Onside kick it. Immediately. I'm kidding. I'm thinking a final score like 100-0 Bengals. They like the commentators don't know how to handle it when it's like 42-0 at halftime. And they're like, we don't know what we're watching right now. Like, you know, I'm kidding, but I think obviously it's going to be tough. It's easy to point to our week 17 matchup and be like, we already got you guys, which is true. And they do need to hear that, but we're at Arrowhead in the postseason. Now it's going to be a tall order. The big thing is like that game in Cincinnati, we dropped 2 picks. If we can get one, if Mike Hilton can hold on to one, if Eli Apple holds on to one of those, just one turnover would be so big in this game. You know what I mean? And I'm not afraid of their run game, even though they did pretty well against us last time. Like, I feel like, I don't know. We're due for like a hit stick fumble on Clyde or something, or whoever the hell's running over there. Sorry, but you know
what
I mean.
Like, it's gonna take something like that for sure if the Bengals want to come out on top. Yeah,
yeah, and hopefully we're not going down 14-0 anymore. But I trust in Joe. I feel like all of these people talking about how, you know, that no one's given us a chance, I feel like that's exactly like the fuel that Joe Burrow loves. Like, that you don't want to make him mad. Like, he's a monster. He's so good. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. And I'm sure you guys are like this. Like, I've always like done a pretty good job of lying to myself and talking myself up that the Bengals are going to win in like the Andy years, where I'm like, look, I understand all of our wide receivers are hurt and that we're playing the Colts in 2014. Sure, we're starting Rex Burkhead at wide receiver, but we might win. It's like, no, I legitimately believe in Joe. I believe in him. And if the O-line can even be okay, like, we don't, just no more 9 sacks. Give us 4, you know, like.
Yeah. Yeah. A modest 4, you know, a modest 4.
A modest 4. Burrow gets named. Yeah, Chris Jones is gonna get 1 or 2. He's going to. He just is. But as long as it's not a full-blown collapse, like, Joe bounces back. You can't flap him. And so I do think, though, that the spread is right in that I don't think it's going to be a field goal game. I don't think it's going to be a 1, 2, 3, 4. I think either the Bengals win by 7 or we lose by more than a score. Or, you know what I mean? Like, I think I think we either, you know what I mean? And like, I love Money Mac saying he wants to break Vinatieri's postseason field goal record, but I'm like, I'd actually love it if you're doing nothing but kicking PATs the whole time. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I'd love to not see you out there at all other than 8 times for a PAT. You know what I mean?
Yep. And this will be another matchup in the postseason where it's, the Raiders game featured 2 really good kickers. This one's going to feature 2 really good kickers, but the Chiefs kicker missed one. Yeah, I think he missed that and an extra point last week. So that was, that's something to look at. A comment here from Daniel Upchurch in a $10 YouTube chat. Thank you. It's absolutely poetic talking about the Bengals and 49ers. Burrow has been slaying ghosts all year. So, interesting. I'm kind of like you. I waver on this thing and we'll get to our predictions later. Before we kind of do some other things to close up the show, Luke. I want to have people hear about your career a little bit and what you got going on. And one thing I wanted to ask you is, what is an SNL audition really like? And Lorne Michaels and the whole crew that you have over there, what is that process like? We haven't gone Hollywood or NYC on this show before, so I need to get the behind the scenes info, my man.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I'll give you the abbreviated. I mean, it's a big long story, obviously, but it's I was doing comedy in Chicago, and they came. They come to Second City and the IO Theater. RIP. It's actually coming back. It died during COVID, but it's coming back. They go every summer, and so there's a little bit like that's kind of the buzz during the summer, as you want to be one of the people that the theater puts up for the SNL showcase, you know, during the summers. And so, and you get 5 minutes to do solo sketch characters. I'm a guitar comic, so I do some tunes. And I got picked to get to perform for them. And it's one of the things where when you're in Chicago, they come and see you play a home game, which is kind of funny. And just in this situation, it's really like, you know, you pack it out with all of your friends and family and anyone that would support you. And they know that. They know, like, this is you playing for a crowd that already is into it. And then they'll fly a few people out to NYC to do the famous, like, host stage audition, where it's intentionally like ice cold, and they go out of their way to not give you anything. They want to see you sweat. They want to see how do you do with the lights? How do you do with no one reacting to you? They're like framed Deal or No Deal banker style. Like, it's just like silhouettes in the back of the room, and they're like going out of their way to not laugh. And you know, I did my stuff, did my thing. I got a couple little titters here and there, and thought that was it. Thought it would be a cool story. They had me back a few weeks later, which I was like, okay. And they're like, do you do any impressions at all? Do you do any political stuff? Which there's a reason I'm not still on the show. My impression that I'm like, oh gosh, what do I even do for these people? I looked in the news. I'm just like, the show is writing whatever's happening that week. Right. And so, that week, Jay Cutler had just announced that he was coming out of retirement to play for the Dolphins. It was that week. And so I bought a Dolphins flat brim, and my impression was me like with a, Camel Crush on my lip. And I like, you know, I took my time. Like, I'm just on my phone the whole time. I'm just like sitting there, I'm smoking a cig. And I'm like sweating them out, because I kind of know what I've already been in the room once. I know they're going to purposefully not react. And so I waited until I could hear their chairs scooching and them like, what's going on? And then I like noticed them, and my whole thing was like, oh, sorry. Sorry, I was playing a game on my phone. We'll do this press conference. And my whole bit was just like, you know, Jay Cutler doesn't care at all. And so they like ate up my Jake. None of them knew who Jay Cutler was at all. They don't know who that is. Right. But they loved the bit. It's just that I don't care at all. You know what I mean? They were into it. So it's weird that my audition was actually football adjacent.
I like it.
And then got to spend a year there. It.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I looked on your website. It looks like maybe I know you had been touring. I saw on your Instagram you'd been touring. I think, was it middle of last year, late last year? You've been kind of doing some things. And then I don't know if you've got some coming up here, but if you've got whatever you've got coming up, or shows, touring, anything, we want to hear about it, man, or upcoming projects, anything.
Yeah, absolutely. I do a bunch of shows in LA all the time, but I have a weekend. Oh, there we go. Honestly, you're the first person that's ever looked at this website. I'm very bad at keeping it current, but I have a weekend of shows in February in San Diego. So I'm doing a comedy club down there, Madhouse in San Diego, I think.
Nice.
Middle of February. And then I'm in Boston early March. I got to put this stuff on there, but I'm touring around. I'm getting back to it. But yeah, it's nice. I appreciate the plug for sure, but I'm all around. I should update this. I forget that this exists sometimes because people.
We got to get you some Bengals Super Bowl content, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly.
Well, I'll try and make my way down to that San Diego show, man. That's
good. Oh, dude, I'd love to see you.
Yeah. And then, you know, if the Bengals win this week, man, I may find a way to crash your wedding the following week. I don't know, man, just to get out there and celebrate with you. But I won't do that.
Roll up to New Orleans. You're invited. It's going to be a wonderful mess. I'm very excited.
Well, we're happy for you.
My fiance was like, I'm like, if they win the AFC championship, she's like, you're not bringing anything Bengal related to the world. Like, she's like, I forbid it, but I already have tiger cufflinks for my suit.
There so you I'm go.
Like, I like low it. Key. That's, I like it. That's me sneaking it in.
Well, hopefully they get a win for you this weekend, and hopefully you have a great weekend after that. And then another great weekend after that. So three straight weekends in a row, hopefully are great for you there, Luke. Thanks for hopping on the show, man. It's always great.
Oh, guys. Thanks for having me. I love the show.
I appreciate it, man.
I'm always lurking.
I appreciate that. I'm in Orange County, man. So let's connect though. And hang Absolutely. Out. I'd love to do it.
I'm all over it, man. Cool. Too bad this happened so late in the season, but next year we have to like watch a game or something.
For sure. Well, take care, man. I appreciate it. And it's been good chatting with you. And we'll see you down the line. Come back on again.
Thanks for having me, guys. I'd love to. Hooday.
Cool.
See
you. Thanks, Luke.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
That was Luke Knoll, Saturday Night Live alum, comedian, musician, Bengals fan, and a hell of a funny guy. We went Hollywood on the show, John. Finally, we went Hollywood.
Yeah, for Lakota East guy, he's not bad. Shout out Lakota.
He's awesome. I appreciate him coming on there. He's a good dude, and hopefully we can connect. Maybe we'll connect in a couple weeks for the Super Bowl. I don't know. We'll figure that out. Dustin Croft with the Super Chat. Thank you, Dustin. I agree with Luke on having Pollock concerns. I mean, has Jonah Williams ever been that great? Thought he would get more out of him at the minimum. But you got to remember, Jonah missed his rookie year, missed, I believe, a month's worth of games last year. So, and he's had some solid moments. He's had some solid performances this year. I would say he performed pretty well against Yannick Ngakoue in that first playoff game. So that, you know, there's some good moments there. But there's just inconsistency across the line. And I think that's the big concern.
He's had some solid moments because he's a good player. Like, he's always been a good player.
Don't tell Tim McGee that, though, right?
Yeah. it was a bad week, let's be honest. And guys are going to have bad weeks, but Jonah's a good player, and he's not to be worried about. And there's no issue with Pollock's development of Jonah Williams, no.
Yeah. We're going to get to stat of the week. We went long with the interview with Luke, but for good reason, because he's a good dude, and he's a hell of a funny guy, and I really appreciate him coming on the show. We're going to get to the soundbite of the week in just a second here, but we got to do a little shameless self-promotion here in terms of letting you know how you can get this show. And that is through, of course, YouTube. You can subscribe to the YouTube YouTube channel and click the bell to be notified when we go live. Give us a thumbs up if you like what we're doing on our videos. We're on iTunes. We are on Stitcher. We're also on all the major ones, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, all the major ones. We are on there along with the others on the Cincy Jungle Podcast Network. That would be Ace and Zim doing their thing on Orange is the New Black. And, of course, Matt Minnick doing his thing with Coach Speak and Chalk Talk. So go subscribe on your favorite audio streamer and leave us a review there. And, of course, if you like the video thing that we're doing, subscribe to our YouTube channel. John, you are the genius of the show, and you bring the information and the data. So you're going to kick off the stat of the week. What you got?
So this stat of the week, I was thinking about earlier in the week, and I ended up making it into an article on Cincy Jungle. The whole theme of the Titans game was the transformation from why not us to it is us, we them, in DJ Reader's words, like we them boys, if you will. And I thought about that, and just the whole thing of why not us is because the Bengals were these big underdogs going into the season and really throughout the season. They've always been doubted, and they will continue to be doubted. And that came from an honest premise. Like, the Bengals coming off of these first 2 years of Zach Taylor, I mean, we had conversations about Zach Taylor. Is he even going to make it out of his third season? How many games does he have to win in order to keep his job? And that was because they were so unfortunately bad in his first 2 years. So bad to the point where the Bengals have made history coming into the season, making the AFC Championship after those first 2 years of Zach Taylor. They are the first team in pro football, not just NFL, pro football history to win 6 games in 2 years and then the following year go to a conference championship game. The previous low was 7 wins, and it was done by a couple teams. You had the 1979 Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a couple of years after they were integrated with the NFL. They lost in the NFC Championship that year. The 1967 Houston Oilers, they won a combined 7 games in 2 years in the AFL before losing the AFL Championship. And the 1947 Chicago Cardinals won the NFL Championship after winning a combined 7 games in the previous 2 years. Never before has a team won 6 games or less in 2 years, and then the following year make the conference championship. And I know it's a little bit cherry picked because it's specific to the Zach Taylor timeline, but I also think that looking at 2 years is relevant and has weight, because oftentimes you'll have teams that have a bad year but then progress and then make a run in the postseason, or maybe you'll just have a bad year 1 year and then pop off the next. And you look at like the 2019 San Francisco 49ers, right? They had 4 wins in 2017, 6 wins in like 2018, and then they make the freaking Super Bowl in 2019, led by Jimmy G and Nick Bosa and whatnot. So this turnaround this quickly under a head coach that no one really had any belief in outside of Cincinnati, with this roster that has all come together so quickly and everything has gone so right, the why not us movement, it had weight. And honestly, the expectations being low, they were honest. So the fact that they're here now, they have defied all expectations. And I understand that they want to carry that confidence with them, like it is us, and they've earned that 100%. But their humble beginnings, it ain't a lot of sense.
That's crazy what you're presenting, the data that you are presenting there. And something just kind of dawned on me. And, you know, I think this is a specific reason why the talking points have largely been what they have been in terms of not buying into the Bengals. They're not going to make it past this round. They're not going to make it past the next round. They're not going to make it past the one coming up. It just, they were so bad the previous 2 years. And it wasn't like they were like on the cusp of being decent. It wasn't like they were, and I guess they would have been had Joe Burrow not been injured, obviously, late last year. They probably would have crept a little closer to 500 and had some nice building blocks there based on what we saw. But, and the teams that they played at the end of the season. But yeah, I mean, I kind of feel like they've surprised and exceeded so many expectations this year. They've surprised so many people that they're just not ready to accept that this team made such a significant jump, and they have.
Pretty much. And honestly, the thing that separates them from other teams who have made it this far but couldn't win the whole thing, there have only been a couple of teams that have won single-digit games in a two-year span and then won the Super Bowl. You have the greatest show on turf, the 99 Rams, and the 81 San Francisco 49ers. And we all know who they beat in the Super Bowl that year. But the thing that they have in common, fantastic quarterback play. Kurt Warner, fresh off of bagging groceries at Kroger, joins this star-studded St. Louis Rams squad and ends up leading the league in passing efficiency, wins the Super Bowl, And that was Joe Montana's first year as a full-time starter with the 49ers. And he had a pretty solid year, too. I think he led the league in completion percentage and was, like, tied for six in yards per attempt. Like, that's what Joe Burrow is. He's the king of efficiency. He leads the league in yards per attempt, and he leads the league in completion percentage. So these other teams have found themselves in these situations after just a dreadful two-year span. They didn't really have a quarterback like Joe Burrow, and that's the reason why they can continue this going forward.
Well, that is interesting stuff, and my little mini stat of the week, just to tack on that, is a good segue to the Chiefs preview. We'll be here just a little bit longer talking about the AFC championship game against the Chiefs. The Bengals have only scored three touchdowns in two games this postseason, John, and eight field goals. So that, as great as Evan McPherson has been and as great as Joe Burrow has been, particularly, you know, in that first game when he wasn't hitting the turf nine times, it has to change. You got to start being better in the red zone. You can't keep taking the sacks as you're marching down the field. You can't keep stalling out drives against Kansas City in Arrowhead if you want to have a chance to win this thing. So three touchdowns in two postseason games. Yes, they're 2-0. A little bit concerning there for me, John, but let's kind of tee this one up. The biggest game in a really, really long time for the Cincinnati Bengals. Do we want to start with injuries? Where do we want to start here?
Yeah, there's not much to go with injuries. I think it's just right now the Bengals are dealing with similar injuries that they've had in the past couple weeks. Stanley Morgan, Josh Tupou are currently limited with their respective injuries. Tupou still has the MCL. Stanley Morgan's got the hamstring, and Cam Sample has a groin injury, which I believe he suffered during the Tennessee Titans game. He did not practice, and the Chiefs had only one guy not practiced as well, but it's a bigger name than Cam Sample. Tyrann Mathieu is still in the concussion protocol. He suffered a concussion against the Buffalo Bills. Now there are signs pointing towards him playing, and in all likelihood, he will pass protocol and end up playing. But the fact that he didn't practice Wednesday, I mean, you can compare it to Trey Hendrickson's timeline in the past week, and Hendrickson at least practiced the beginning of last week's practice. So Matthew's a little bit behind schedule, but it sounds like he'll be fine. And then a bunch of players for the Chiefs are still having, like, listed with injuries, but all of them that you can see on the screen, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Chris Jones, Tyreek Hill, they all practice full. They'll be fine.
Yeah. And Fenton was the one that they were also worried about, right? He had been having a back issue for the past few weeks, and looks like he's trending in the right direction for the Chiefs there to kind of have, it's kind of rare that these teams are, you know, I mean, I know the Bengals have lost a couple of people, Larry Ogunjobi, Joseph Osai earlier in the year and a few others, but these teams are, you know, for it being so far into the season, pretty healthy at this point.
Well, that's what you have to. Like, it's really, it's just a war of attrition, and the teams that end up making it the furthest, they're not only the best performing teams, but they're the teams that have the most guys to play. And, you know, the Titans making it that far after playing like 91 guys on their roster, like a league record or something, it's commendable. But this is what the Bengals haven't had in years past, injury luck. And now they have it, and look where they are.
So I guess one of the talking points is, you know, when the Bengals, what were the Chiefs when the Bengals knocked them off? Weren't they like 8-0? They started off real poor, and then I think they were 8-0. The Bengals beat them. And you felt really good as from the Bengals side of things about that win. Is this based on the health that we're talking about? I don't think Clyde played in that game against the Bengals, and there are a couple of other players out, but I mean, is this Chiefs actually right? This Chiefs team, after beating the Bills and getting through the postseason to where they are, is this Chiefs team actually better than the one that the Bengals faced a month ago?
They're probably the same, right? Because the Bengals are the only team that has beaten the Chiefs since, I guess, what, October, when they started that winning streak. I don't feel like they're any different. And, you know, we've talked about, like, last week, we weren't really sure what the Titans were going to do defensively. We had a decent idea, but they ended up flipping the script on the Bengals and utilizing a lot more blitzes and whatnot to really confuse the Bengals offensive line. But it kind of seems like the Chiefs, you know, they've been here before. This is their fourth AFC championship at home. They have a formula that has obviously worked in the past 3 months, and they're not really going to change. They have an identity, and I don't think they're any better or worse than where they were when they came to Paul Brown Stadium on January 2nd. It just kind of feels like they're the Chiefs, and they're going to do what they're going to do because they've had success with that. So it honestly feels like the Bengals can just look at that tape from January 2nd and everything past that. And I don't think you're going to see that much of a different team.
I don't think you're going to see that much of a different team. I think the talking point that comes from that is obviously beating who they beat last week and how they beat them. Just an absolutely crazy, crazy game. What we've seen from the Bengals, I mean, we talked about Burrow and the rookie McPherson and their confidence and all of that, and they just kind of seem to be unflappable. Big moments, big games, big opponents, the whole thing. Is this just a different animal in that regard for the Bengals and their potential mindset this week? Or do you still foresee that this is just another game? They're going to embrace that underdog mentality that seems to be just an omnipresent thing for them. Or might this moment be a little too big for this young team, do you think?
Well, you know what, Anthony? I feel like it's like a combination of two things that work in the Bengals' favor. And I want you to listen to this. The Bengals having success against this exact team not even a month ago. So there's confidence in seeing them beat this team before, basically composed in the same exact way, but obviously the stakes are higher. It's a different setting. But they come into this game knowing that they can beat this team because they legitimately did beat them. But now you still have a lot of people doubting them. Obviously, the spread favors the Chiefs. The experts are favoring the Chiefs. The Chiefs have won games like this before. They've gone on to the previous two Super Bowls. And a lot of people think that the Chiefs can't be beaten twice, even though it's not that uncommon for teams to face each other again in the playoffs and for that team that won the first time to win again. We just saw it with the Bengals Raiders. And we've seen Joe Burrow specifically perform just as good, if not better, the second time that he faces some of these teams. And it's hard to imagine Burrow playing better than when he did the first time against the Chiefs. But right. Maybe this time you don't have that slowish start where you're down by double digit points to the Chiefs, because at that point, then you're facing off against the Chiefs pass rush playing at home in obvious passing situations, and it could get a little bit more ugly than it did in Cincinnati. But Anthony, the fact that they are still underdogs but come into this game with that earned confidence because they've seen this work, I think that just works really well in the Bengals' favor.
That's fantastic points. And I think as much as we who cover the team, who are fans of the team, et cetera, as much as we complain about some of the national media narratives, there's some clown show that takes place in Massachusetts. These guys, I don't even know their names, but they just keep putting out takes there that are just whatever. There's a lot of old narratives. There's a lot of disbelief in this team, and there's a lot of belief in that locker room. There's a lot of belief in who they are, what they can do, who they can beat in that locker room. And so I'm in agreement with you. There's also a little bit of the playing with house money at this point. Nobody thought they would be here and except them. And so I'm kind of with you there in terms of the mindset. I'm not really worried about based on how they've shown up in big games this year and in the postseason so far, I'm not worried about a Marvin Lewis shrink show at Arrowhead. You know, it's more just some of the X's and O's and some of the areas that both teams are talented or maybe less talented. Those are kind of and that's what the game should be about. It shouldn't be about, you know, not showing up or not coming big in the big moments. But you talked about kind of the pass rush a little bit. This obviously is not as ferocious player by player across the line as Tennessee, but Kansas City can still get after the passer. What are you seeing that the Bengals need to do this week to really kind of, I mean, is it kind of what Luke talked about, the communication issues where, you know, a guy brings it back inside and there's some communication issues on the right side? What are you saying that, like, hey, you got to be able to do this from an offensive line standpoint to really have a good shot here?
Yeah, I think like you won't see as many twists and stunts from the Chiefs defensive line as you saw from the Bills, because again, Steve Spagnuolo doesn't really change, honestly. Like, he's not Mike Vrabel where he comes in every single week and it's different based off the opponent and he goes off of or he deviates from certain tendencies. I think Spagnuolo does what he wants to do, and the defense for the Chiefs has improved in recent weeks, but it's still, as we saw on Sunday, pretty vulnerable. So Chris Jones is the biggest X factor here, because we saw in the first Chiefs game, Tyrann Mathieu coming off the edge. You had Melvin Ingram and Frank Clark off the edge. And that's the type of pressure that Burrow is an expert at avoiding, and he can extend plays. But when you have a guy like Chris Jones, like we saw last Saturday with Jeffrey Simmons, just bulldozing his way up the middle, that's impossible to escape. And that's how the Titans were able to convert so many of their pressures into sacks. So I think you're still going to see Burrow pressured in this game because, like you said, the Chiefs still have players at defensive line. The Bengals offensive line is still going to struggle, but you may not see as many of them turn into sacks because there could be more situations where Burrow can avoid it. What's interesting, though, and our friend Joe Goodberry brought this up, I think, in a podcast interview that he was on earlier this week. The fact that the Bengals had legitimate headset communication issues with Burrow and getting the plays in, and that them having to waste the entire play clock to actually snap the ball, already playing on the road, you're just giving pass rushers just a free lane to just tee off and explode at the right time because they can just jump the snap because it's waiting until the last second. So they can't really do that again and expect to block guys like Melvin Ingram and Frank Clark off the edge and just basically get in the way of that Chiefs pass rush. So the communication obviously has to be better, and hopefully that their headsets don't go out in the middle so they don't have to waste 39 seconds before getting a playoff.
Daniel Upchurch with the another generous super chat here. Everybody keeps talking about the Chiefs and the Bills crazy scoring, but nobody is talking about both defenses giving up. I mean, I don't know if giving up, maybe giving up points at the end. So many scores at the end, I think, is maybe, I don't want to speak for Daniel, but maybe that's what he's referencing there. The Bengals defense doesn't give up. The pressure last week and sacks last week came at a premium. And I guess you didn't really need them given the fact that you still forced three turnovers despite that. But we did see, obviously, last year and in the Super Bowl, and why the Chiefs invested so heavily on their offensive line in both free agency and the draft this year. That's one of the few things that is kryptonite for Patrick Mahomes if you continually get after him. Are you confident or worried about the Bengals pass rush this week based on kind of an inconsistent performance last week? I believe the only sack they had was Von Bell on a blitz, right? So I don't know. How are you feeling about the pass rush this week going up against Kansas City?
Yeah, I just don't know what Trey Hendrickson is right now because he was coming off the concussion and he injured, I think, his shoulder or arm against the Titans.
Yeah, he did. Like, that's right.
So he's not missing practice right now, but I think in general, man, the defensive line is probably just gassed. They've experienced so many injuries. Sam Hubbard's playing like 80-90% of his snaps. Yeah. You know, DJ Reader's barely getting out of the game. So if there's one position group that's just kind of wearing down, it's probably the defensive line. But even pressuring Mahomes, like, he can do just as many good things, if not better things, than Burrow out of the pocket. Like, Mahomes is maybe kryptonite is, like, he'll have one or two, you know, crazy plays where maybe the ball is in harm's way. And we saw that against the Bengals. Like, Eli Apple and Mike Hilton both dropped interception. Luke said it best, man. If you can get one of those, if you can get one extra possession against an offense that is destined to score 35, 42 points, you have to take advantage of it. And whether it comes via a pass rush win and a pressured throw or just Mahomes trying to make magic out of nothing and then just the throw slightly getting away from him, that has to be a situation that you take advantage of. And credit to the Bengals for doing that exact thing in the past two games against Derek Carr and Ryan Tannehill. But Mahomes is just a different animal.
He is. He is. Any other keys that you want to focus in on before we get to, because we're going long again this week, but any keys that you think that we didn't talk about to this one or something kind of behind the scenes you think will be a big factor this week, and then maybe we'll give predictions as we usually do.
Yeah, not really behind the scenes. Like, leading up to the Tennessee game, I thought because Chase had such a good game and T. Higgins was kind of an afterthought against the Raiders, I thought the script would flip and then T. Higgins would kind of shine and then Chase might be on the back burner, and T. Higgins had a better game against the Titans. But when it came down to it, Ja'Marr Chase had three receptions in the fourth quarter and obviously the biggest reception of the game. You look at this game now, the Chiefs obviously don't want to give up 266 yards again against Chase, but is there really anything that the Chiefs secondary can do to stop Chase? And we just saw Gabriel Davis, 200 yards, four touchdowns. Stephon Diggs barely has like one catch or something like that. I don't think it's going to be like that because I just think Chase is right now in a tier of his own where he just can't be stopped. He's up there with Debo, Cooper Kupp, and the guy on the other sideline, Tyreek Hill. He's just a guy that defenses can do all they want, but he's going to get his. So it feels like I know Luke was saying that T. Higgins is going to pop off this game, and because more attention is going to be given to Chase, but I kind of feel like Ja'Marr Chase is just going to get his, and that's not really going to be a storyline.
Yeah, and I think that plays into this super chat a little bit that we got from Bruce Gaines. Thank you very much. What do you see the Bengals doing differently in this game to improve our chances of scoring? I think, of course, Chase. I think using the big body of T. Higgins in the red zone. But quite honestly, for me, it's just stop the negative plays. Stop the negative plays when you get down there, whether it's a run that nets you nothing or a negative two, a minus one, whether it's a sack, anything like that. To me, you just got to – those negative plays are the ones – and not only that, it's not even, I'm trying to word this correctly here. The negative plays are not just causing you to not get in the end zone. They're causing difficult field goal makes. I mean, he's made all of them, but they're causing difficult distances quite often for Evan McPherson. Thankfully, he's been absolutely perfect. But, you know, those negative plays are just absolutely killing you. But thanks, Bruce, for the super chat. I think we got one more here. A complimentary, of course. T-Bread 2328 2328, thank you for everything you do for all of us fans. Love the show, can't wait for Sunday. Thank you. And we got another generous one from our special guest Luke Knoll. Gave us one here as well, right here. Thanks for having me on the show, guys. You were awesome, Luke. Thank you. Hooday baby, that's right. What are you thinking prediction wise John, what are you thinking here?
I honestly do think that the Chiefs are just the better team because I think they're just more reliable. They're playing at home. They've won 7 straight playoff games at Arrowhead Stadium ever since, I believe, losing to the New England Patriots in the first AFC Championship game. And that was in overtime with the whole Julian Edelman controversy and whatnot. It just really seems difficult to outscore Mahomes twice in a single season. If there's any team that can do it, it's either the Bills or the Bengals. And I think the Bills have a better defense than the Bengals, and the Bills still weren't even able to do it. It's been said all year, man. This team has been doubted. It's been counted out. It's been underestimated. They were underestimated against the Chiefs the first time. They're going to be underestimated again this time, and I think it's for decent reasons. I just think that offense for the Chiefs is just a little bit more reliable than the total culmination of efforts that the Bengals have. But counting against Joe Burrow is just, it's a losing battle. If someone has to take it, it might as well be me. So let's go 35-31 Chiefs.
All week, I think I said last week as well on the show that regardless of the outcome against Tennessee, I felt like that the ride would end for the Bengals this week, depending, it was regardless of if they played the Bills or the Chiefs. I just felt like, you know, it was just too much. And even watching that game Sunday, I was like, yeah, man, this is gonna be tough. You watch them go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and I just, for even, you know, just up until now, I'm just like, yeah, I don't know. But like you said, there's just something different about this team, and I everything is telling me don't pick them. They're not going to win this week. And yet there's just the intangible stuff, the team of destiny stuff. I don't know. I feel like this, it's not going to be an easy game. It's not a winnable game. And I don't want to be the hero to you being a villain picking against them, John, but I don't know. There's something that just says they can just make one more play, one more, just enough this week. And I'm going to go, here you go, 27-26 Bengals. And that really just kind of came to me late today that I felt, you know, all week, even after the game last week, I said, and I think part of, quite honestly, my mindset changing is a little bit of how the Bengals won that Tennessee game as well. They showed a lot of character in that one and how they pulled that off.
I don't know if I truly buy into teams of destiny. I feel like people get kind of lost in that when they just forget that, hey, these teams are just playing better than the others. And that's just the logistical reason that it comes down to. It is intoxicating, though, just with everything lining up. The fact that the 49ers are playing the team in the Rams that they've beaten twice this year, and the Bengals having that chance to play that team again, having the chance to sweep the Chiefs. That's just an impossible task on paper, but everything just going right, everything just clicking. It would be phenomenal to see that unfold.
It really would. It would. Let's drop the mic and get out of here. We went long, but for good reason. These have been a epic past few weeks of shows between guests, interviews, and all kinds of different things we've been doing, and we get to keep it rolling all week. John, what do you got for us as we get on out of here?
I don't mean to end the show on like a sad note, but I just wanted to give my condolences to Carlos Dunlap and his family. Unfortunately, Carlos Dunlap Sr. passed away earlier this week, I believe, in his hometown in North or South Carolina. I think he was involved in some type of a car accident. Last year, when the whole Dunlap saga was unfolding, Dunlap Sr. reached out to me to really tell his side of the story. And he just seemed like a guy that just genuinely wanted the very best for his son. And just for him to share his thoughts and his time with me and to trust that information with me, guy who's barely a journalist in this industry, it really meant a lot. And, you know, when Dunlap was traded to the Seahawks, he reached out to me again. I'm like, I bet you're excited, man. Like, absolutely. And, you know, whatever you need, like, my family is here for you. And then that gratitude, it really meant a lot to me. And just to know that, you know, he's a fantastic father of Carlos. And I'm just really, really feeling for Carlos at this point. So rest in peace to Carlos Dunlap Sr.
Yeah, that one hurts a little bit. I was going to talk a little bit about that, too. I just remember, you know, early on in my days at Cincy Jungle, it was, you know, we used to get these emails from him, and it was emails just talking about what his son is doing in the community, the football camps he's participating in, and all kinds of different stuff to alert us to say, hey, you know, maybe write about this. Maybe let the fans know what he's doing down here in case you haven't, you know. And he didn't do that as like a promotional thing. He did that just as a proud father of everything his kid was achieving. And so, sad day. And, you know, Carlos left a really heartfelt message on his Instagram and stuff. So, aching for them for sure. Carlos was a great player for the Bengals for a long time. And, his dad was really proud of him, obviously, for good reason. So, Not good news there. I will say I don't want to be exaggeratory or anything or over the top. I going back to that Team of Destiny thing I talked about, I don't know, man, like some of the stuff that you talked about with the stat of the week and the lack of success over so many years of this franchise and stuff. This is like, and I guess it makes sense because we had someone from Hollywood on our show tonight. This is like movie script stuff, dude. If they go and to make this turnaround, complete this turnaround, go all the way, or maybe not even go all the way, come close to going all the way, this is like underdog story galore. And so I don't know. Just a weird thought that popped in my head today that just a really, really special season that's unfolded for us.
And I've seen this pop up a few times. Like all other teams in recent history have had that feeling of this is the start of like the new standard, the norm. Like we're going to be back here next year and whatnot. And very rarely is that the case. Like you look at the Chiefs or this next dynasty, they only have one ring in 3 years of Mahomes starting, and they very well may not have a second here coming up shortly. So these opportunities are rare, but when it comes to the Bengals, I think for me, it doesn't feel like it's this year or nothing. I truly do feel like they are going to be serious contenders for at the very, very minimum the next 2 years. And if they win this time, that's fantastic. But if they don't, I have a hard time not believing they'll be back here next year.
Yeah, maybe not movie stuff, maybe 30 for 30 or I don't know, something like that. It just kind of feels that way, what they've been able to achieve. And I do agree with you that I feel like this is the tip of the iceberg, potential dynasty type of stuff that's going on here. I pinned a comment here from Melanie West in our live Facebook chat saying, we are placing our 4 Chiefs versus Bengals tickets on sale. I got COVID. That's why I am selling the tickets. Section 321, row 39, seats 6 through 9. If you need tickets, send me a direct message now. Serious buyers only. I don't want to bombard your inbox, Melanie, but I assume you are looking for someone to take those off your hands. So we want to help you out with that. And of course, you and any other members of your family that may be sick at this point, hopefully you are all doing well, getting better, all of that. But we want to at least try and help you out. So if you are on Facebook and or you're in the live chat right now, go give a message to Melanie West. If you're looking for tickets, she's looking to get those off her hands. Get better, Melanie. That's going to do it for us, John. You excited for this weekend, my man? This is going to be a big one.
Dude, it's the AFC Championship and the Bengals are playing in it. Of course I'm excited. Whatever happens, man, this has been a year, a month, past couple weeks to remember for content, but just for memories and just just looking back at this now, like it's cool to just live in the moment. And you know what? Whatever happens Saturday happens.
Yeah.
Sunday.
That's okay. Are you going somewhere? You hanging out at home? How are you watching the game?
I think I'm watching it with the two best friends that really got me into all this in the first place. The guys that really have been friends my entire life, and they're the reasons why I got involved with the Bengals in the first place. So you know, hopefully going back to where it all started, it ends up in a place where we've never been before.
Nice. Was one of them the your buddy that I met week one?
No, that was not him. I met him a few years ago in college. Okay. These guys,
That's right.
These guys know me as the original Bengal John when I was just 7 years old and with curly blonde hair and having a John Kitna jersey in the 2003 season. John, we go way back.
I love it. Yeah, I'll probably just be hanging with some family members as well and doing a little typing and hopefully celebrating. So have fun, John.
You as well, Anthony, man.
All right. Take it easy, everybody.